more thoughts on that moving forward in the rest of the show here. I do want to talk to our guy, Danny Kelly, who joins us now every Wednesday to chat some fantasy football. And a reminder, this football season, make it the Clayton Public House, 188th Street and 56th Avenue in Surrey, and the ClaytonPub.com. From the Ringer NFL podcast, it is Danny Kelly. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How are you guys doing?
Ah, we are doing great. Well, Izzy's doing fantastic. Izzy has made it his life's mission to destroy me in fantasy after I came out of our league a few years ago. So he's...
Do you want me to tell the story, or do you want to tell the story?
No. I just look. We were short on numbers, and I invited Izzy into a league, and then we had plenty of numbers a year later, and I had to boot him out because he's not a Rogers employee, and so.
You had to boot me out, but you never told me that I was getting booted out. I found out before the draft, hey, are you back in the league? Because I was a playoff team the year before. I said, oh, the draft's this week? Oh, Bic, my friend stabbed me through the heart and didn't even tell me that I wasn't back in the league.
I think that's what we call ghosting. He ghosted you on that one.
Yeah, that's 100% what happened.
That's rough.
And he's made it his life's mission this year to...
Now I'm back, and I absolutely pounded Dick this week.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm getting just destroyed. So we love bringing you on to talk about the fantasy football and to sort out what's going on. But there's been some injuries. Go figure. Well, once again, Davante Adams isn't going to go play this week on Thursday Night Football. Some word that Marquez Valdes-Scantling is going to be coming off the IR is... you know, what are the Packers pass catching options that you want to invest in this week?
I think it's risky pretty much for anybody, honestly. You know, obviously with so Davante Adams is out. Alan Lazard would have been, in my mind, the next man up, but he also was considered a close contact. He wasn't vaccinated, so he's going to be out also. So that leaves kind of a mishmash of guys. I think number one, it makes me more confident to start Robert Tonyan, the tight end, who basically, it's just been a bit of the odd man out this week or this year just because he's been, it's just been hasn't been getting as many targets as you'd like to see, especially in the red zone. Last year, he was the dominant red zone guy for them and scored a bunch of touchdowns. So maybe we could see him return to prominence this week. If you're really in a pinch and you need to start a tight end, I think he's a guy I would definitely kind of just roll the dice on. I wouldn't say necessarily trust this week, but I kind of roll the dice on him. And then past that, I guess like Randall Cobb, Amari Rodgers, the rookie, who hasn't really been doing a whole lot this week. And then if you're really, really desperate, it sounds like they're going to put Malik Taylor on the roster or whatever for this game. He's been on the practice squad, so he's another guy to potentially keep in mind. But I would say mostly Randall Cobb and Robert Tonyan would be the only guys that feel remotely confident in.
Elsewhere too, it's a player that I'm sure a lot of people had high hopes for, and Kyle Shanahan has come out and said, yeah, he's getting closer and closer. It's Brandon Ayuk, who I think is a phenomenal player. Like last year, it was impossible not to be excited about him. I liked him coming out in the draft as well, and it just hasn't materialized. But is it getting closer to maybe getting better, or is it a situation where we look at and say, if you have Ayuk shares, just start selling?
Divest. I don't know. It's tough. It's really tough. I think it would probably take an injury, maybe Deebo Samuel. And I did see, just to keep in mind for the rest of this week, Deebo Samuel wasn't at practice today. And that could just be precautionary. It could just be like a veteran rest day or something for him. But I think if Deebo's playing, he's kind of the guy. And then also you have the specter of George Kittle coming back at some point and then being like the 1A to 1B to Deebo. I'm just not super confident that Ayuk is going to find his way back into the good graces of Shanahan. I also do think, and I like to blame it on Shanahan because I'm with you, I think that Ayuk is a good player. And some of the things he did as a rookie were really, really impressive. I mean, he was like a wide receiver one over the last like 5-7 weeks of the season. So, I mean, that was really, really impressive. However, he has been playing the last few weeks and he hasn't done anything. So that, I mean, it kind of makes me nervous. I think he played about 3/4 of the snaps the last 3 seasons around there, the last 3 games around there, and he really hasn't done anything with those snaps. And so I would just say this offense isn't very good. Jimmy G is not very good. It doesn't sound like Trey Lance is anywhere near getting the start in terms of, like, Kyle Shanahan, I think, said, basically I think Jimmy G would have to be hurt for Trey Lance to start going forward. And so – I'm mostly just avoiding. At this point, I think in redraft, he's certainly just a drop. I don't even, no one's going to trade for this guy. And you're kind of just like holding out hope that he's going to have a bigger role going forward based on an injury or something like that. But there's probably more helpful players that you could get on the waiver wire at this point.
Any Pat Mahomes concern after he took a hit on Sunday? It sounds like he's going to play and that he should be fine. And he's thrown a bunch of picks, but his fantasy numbers overall are still, he's got the ceiling anyway.
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me if I was worried about Mahomes, and no, I'm not remotely worried about that yet. I mean, at this point, they're just kind of an interesting offense because it feels like they're just a little out of rhythm the whole season, and I don't know why that is. Maybe it has to do with like the fact they have a whole new offensive line, but it just seems to be a little bit more out of whack than normal. But I mean, that's all relative because, like you said, he's still an elite quarterback. He's still, a guy like I would start over almost everybody, honestly, at this point still in fantasy. And so, I'm not worried about him. I'm not really worried about the offense in general. I don't think the Chiefs are as good as they used to be. But this is still a team that can score a lot of points. And most of the underlying numbers support that idea. So, yeah, I'm not too worried.
Danny Kelly joining us from the Ringer NFL Football Podcast. So we're getting to the spot now. We went through, what was it called, Bipocalypse. It was a terrible spot, and a lot of teams, struggled to set their lineups. But if you manage to survive and you got this winning record and you're still looking ahead, like, who are the teams you're trying to target to say, hey, the back end of the schedule right now, if I wanted to make some trades, whether it's the fantasy playoffs or whether it's the tail end of the season to try to get into the playoffs, who are some teams you're trying to target to say, these are finest dynasty, filled teams that will hopefully provide you some level of success?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I think one team that I keep kind of circling and looking at and thinking they're going to get better as the season goes on are the Bengals, just because they started the season out really slowly. And I know that they had plenty of hype and everything coming into the year, but with the way they started the season, they basically were trying to slow the games down. They're basically playing Seahawks football where they don't want their quarterback to have to throw very much. They're running a whole bunch. They weren't really asking Joe Burrow to do much. And then over the last few games, they've been speeding things up. They've been asking him to do more. They threw more. Like, they were dominating this last game, and they still had Joe Burrow throw the ball 38 times. I mean, they won like 41-19 or something like that, and he still threw the ball a ton. So I think that they're rounding into form as an offense. And if you remember last year, this was one of the highest pace pass first offenses in the NFL. We were calling them Cowboys North in the offseason because remember last year the Cowboys were also like that, where they just threw the ball a ton. Ironically, both the Cowboys and the Bengals ended up being much more run heavy this year than we expected. But I think the Bengals are going in that direction where they are, more pass first, more prolific through the air. And to wrap all that together, what I'm getting to is I like T. Higgins as kind of like a buy low type player right now. He had 14 targets, I want to say, this last week. He didn't turn them all into the kind of production that you typically like to see from that type of target rate. But I still think he's a very good player. I still think he's going to, and it's going to start ending up evening out a little bit more between him and Ja'Marr Chase. Because what we've seen from Ja'Marr Chase is unprecedented. I mean, he's literally been the best rookie receiver through seven games of all time. And I think he'll continue to be very, very good. But I think there's probably going to be some more distribution in targets and in production in that offense between him and Higgins. So I'm looking at Higgins as kind of like a good buy. Is that answer what you were asking?
Yeah, just like the team's in the right environments to capitalize on matchups, basically, in the tail end. If Cincinnati's one that's, interests you, that's great. What about alternatively? Like what are the matchups maybe you're looking at moving forward in the next few weeks to say, I don't want players from these teams as I get ready to head into the playoffs?
That is a good question. So the first thing that came to my mind was Carolina. I think it maybe is like a week or two too late. might be a week or two too late to sell high on these guys because we've seen what Sam Darnold has turned back into a pumpkin essentially and looks more. And in fact, I think his numbers, and depending on how you look at it, some of his numbers are worse than what he was as a Jet, which is just scary and depressing. But I mean, I think if someone still believes in DJ Moore, he might be a guy that you could definitely sell high on. And I think you should definitely get a lot for him because he's a really good player and he's still going to be like a huge part of this offense. But I'm just not as confident in this Carolina offense as I was a few weeks ago. So that might be a team to kind of just like try and use some name value. Like DJ Moore definitely has some star name value. Maybe you want to just divest from Christian McCaffrey at this point, even though he's not back yet. So that was the first team that came to my mind in terms of, you know, potential sell high opportunity.
Saquon Barkley's practicing. It seems like he's still questionable to play for the Giants. He's still rostered in most leagues. He had a couple of really nice games before the injury, but with the high ankle sprain, that's one that tends not to, you know, be a straightforward recovery. Where are you at on him being a potential option for people down the stretch?
I think he's another good potential buy low because I think people probably could, you know, obviously he's got some star power, name power, so it's going to be kind of hard to get him away from people. But for a team that might need to start winning now, like if they're like, if you're looking at a team in your league, they're, you know, 3-4 or 2-4, whatever, how many, I'm not very good at math. What are teams right now? 7 games through? 2-5. I think if you're looking at teams like that, that need to get a W this week, maybe you can go and trade for Barkley and you know, tell them they need to get a win this week, and then you can have Barkley down the stretch because I think he has a chance to come on strong as we go down the season. He's probably not going to be helpful this week, maybe not even next week, but like down the stretch is going to be huge because, and I actually think that the Giants offense probably can catch fire down the stretch too because they're getting a lot of their guys back. Daniel Jones has actually been playing relatively well considering all of his skill players are hurt. His offensive line is hurt. You know, obviously we saw him have a rare non-turnover game this last week. So I'm kind of bullish. I think there could be an opportunity there where people are like thinking that the Giants just suck, but they actually could have a chance to put up some numbers down the stretch. So I like this. I like that example a lot. I think Barkley is definitely a guy to target if you have the opportunity to wait to use him for a couple of weeks because he could really go off in like the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, just to clarify, teams could be 3-4 at this point in the season. Teams like Bix are 1-6. So he's a bit of a different conversation, I think.
All right. I want to get to the inbox here. Six. I'm just going to move right past it. Danny Kelly joining us here. There's some listeners' battles going on right now in our text inbox. Nice guy Nate wants his question in over Sean and Mission. As far as we get ready for the trade deadline here, Marlon Mack, Nate says, hey, he's been burning a hole in my bench for weeks. Am I wasting my time? Is this someone that could get traded as well and maybe boost his own value?
There's a chance. It does feel like the Colts are sort of trying to feature him a little bit. Obviously, they've got Jonathan Taylor, so they're not trying to give Marlon Mack a bunch of carries, but they have given him more carries than you kind of expect a team like them to be giving him. So I think they're trying to feature him and show teams that he's ready to play, that he can come out and he's healthy from, I think he had an Achilles injury, which is always a worrisome one for NFL players. And so, yeah, he's definitely a guy. I think you might as well just hold on to him. I think it's another week until the trade deadline. And unless you're desperate now to have a guy that you can plug into your lineup, it's worth seeing if it happens. Like, just for instance, if he gets traded to the Ravens, that would be good because the Ravens right now, like, their running back group is terrible. It's a bunch of over-the-hill, you know, sort of guy, like 28, 29, 30-year-old running backs that are past their prime, well past their prime, and they haven't been looking good at all. So if the Ravens end up trading for a guy like Mack, he could end up being like their starter going forward. And obviously this is a good run team. So, yeah, he's a guy to kind of just hold on your bench. I would throw out another name there, like a guy like David Johnson, maybe, who's languishing in Houston. If he got traded before the deadline to a contender, that might be an interesting option. So there are a few players certainly that I'm kind of just trying to hold on my bench and see what happens over the next week. Evan Ingram is another one. There's some rumors around him getting traded. So, it's probably not going to work out. Like, the odds are low, but it's always worth just kind of seeing how it goes, rolling the dice.
Actually, also, we watched the Seahawks this past week not do all that great, but DK Metcalf had a moment, and, you know, people were worried about Tyler Lockett, but it is at the right stage that, you know, with Russell Wilson maybe coming back sooner than anticipated, is this kind of the last week to kind of buy low on those types of players?
Yeah, I think you probably have like this week, next week, a couple of weeks here. It doesn't sound like Wilson's going to be back before week 10. Yeah, you have a few weeks, I'd say, but like, especially after a game like this, Lockett, you could probably get him for free. Offer someone like a cheeseburger or something. Maybe they'll take it. You can take him off their hands because he's not startable until Russell Wilson comes back. it's kind of the same deal with Saquon, though. Like, if you're a team that has the opportunity to wait a few weeks and you want to use this guy in the playoffs, go get Lockett, because he will, like, Russell Wilson will be back at some point, and the moon balls down the field will be back at some point. But it just kind of depends. It has to be on, I'm guessing it probably have to be on a team that's, you know, either trying to fight for their lives right now or basically just out of contention. So it just is it's a league specific thing, but I like that idea a lot.
He is Danny Kelly. Love talking to him every Wednesday at 2 o'clock to sort out your fantasy football thoughts. There's some stardom sit 'em questions that came in. We like to remind you every Sunday on Spotify's Green Room, Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Craig Horlbeck on for the Ringer Fantasy Football Show. So you can get your start sit 'em questions then. And as Danny, you like to mention, you guys bring them right on stage.
Yeah. So, well, figurative stage, basically we bring you on to the broadcast. We bring you on as like you guys would do with callers. And then we break down your lineups. We try and go through as many sit start discussions as we can. Kind of just get them all out there. It's a fun time. Usually we run down all the injuries and all that. So yeah, definitely join us at 9 a.m. at Pacific time on the Green Room app.
That's Sunday mornings, and if you have general fantasy football questions, we didn't get to them in the text inbox today, send them in to ringerfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Actually, before we let you go, Pete Carroll, should he stay or should he go?
Wow. I don't think that's like a short answer for you. How do I even answer that? I got some thoughts. I think long-term, probably go.
But for the rest of the year?
He's not going
in this reality of 8 straight runs.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere this year. But past that, I've got some thoughts. I can't answer that with a one-word question, though, or one-word response.
Fair enough. All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thank you, guys.